Amen. It's so good to see everyone. Amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles over to Hebrews 10, 32. And we're going to read the word. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about the power to endure. The power to endure. Amen. Who knows that in life you need endurance? In life, you need to endure. Everything is not a bed of roses. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't sleep on roses, nor do I live on roses. Amen. Sometimes when you pick the most beautiful rose, there's a thorn. Hello? When you buy flowers, anyone ever got flowers? Yeah. And when you look on those beautiful roses, if you don't be careful, they will stick you. They're cute and they smell good, but they're going to stick you if you're not careful. So tell somebody, it is not always smooth. Not all things are smooth, but the God that we serve is the God that gives us the power to endure. Amen. Let's read together. And if you can, would you stand? And at Faith Church, we have decided when we read the word of God, we honor the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:32 says, but recall, but what? Recall the former days in which, you know, sometimes we don't want to remember the former days. We just want to look ahead. Yes, the scripture says, forgetting the things that are behind and press forward. But it says, recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, meaning you came to truth, you came to Christ, you what? Endured a great struggle with suffering. You know, people tell, when you witness, you tell people, come to Jesus and everything will be good. I want to tell you that is a lie. You know, you go, you say, if you turn to Jesus, oh my God, your life is going to become so easy. I tell you that is not the truth. Because even Christ, his life on earth was not easy. He had to endure persecution. He had to endure taunting. He endured all the way to death. Amen. But it says what? You endured a great struggle with suffering. After you became illuminated, you suffered. After you got saved, you suffered. And what did you do? You endured the suffering. I want to tell somebody, do not throw in the towel this morning. Do not give up. Stand firm. Greater is he that is in you. More are they that are with you than those who are against you. Well, look here now. Partly while you were made a spectacle. Look here now. A spectacle of both reproaches and tribulation. You know, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, sometimes it seems like you are the only one that is being put to shame and everybody else is going on hunky-dory, but you are the one that has the shame necklace and everyone is looking at you and they're laughing at you and they're scoffing at you. But I want to tell you, God is going to pick you up before you leave here this morning. He's going to turn, he's going to deposit something in your spirit that will take you to a whole new dimension. And partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. And mind what he's saying. He's saying partly. For you have compassion on me and my chains. And joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. How did they accept it? Joyfully. Joyfully. The plunder of their goods, the things they own, were then plundered. But guess what? They received it with joy. Knowing that you have a better, somebody say better. You have a better and a what? Enduring possession for yourself in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great what? Reward. For you have need of endurance. What do we have need of? Endurance. We have need of endurance. Sometimes we say we have need of money, we have need of house, we have need of car, we have need of nice clothes, we have need of a new TV. But here God is telling us what we really need is the ability to hold on, the ability to endure. Amen? So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Amen. Father, thank you for this word. I pray, Holy Spirit, you will add to it as we, oh God, look at it today, and we pray that we will draw anointing and power, and we will draw revelation out of this word, and it will empower us to live a successful life in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The word we're looking at today is endurance. And the Greek for this word is hupomone. Hupomone. It's spelled H-U-P-O, but it's pronounced as in a basketball hoop.
Yeah.
All right. That's much better. Thank you. Yes. Amen. It sounds a little better, don't I? Yeah. It's called hupomone, which means to remain behind. To what? Remain behind. But you're saying, Pastor, the Lord says, I'm the head and I'm not the tail, but yet you're telling me to hupomone, meaning to stay behind or to be patient in enduring. Patient enduring. You know, in this life we live, it's the microwave society. Boop, in and out. Boop, you get saved. Boop, you want to speak in tongues. You get saved. Boop, you want to prophesy. Because you see all these things and you're thinking that it just happens overnight. You know, people get graduated from college and right away they want to make $100,000. And if they got to make 30 and 40, they're like, oh, that job is not good enough for me. But you have not walked the road. You have not paid the price. You have not spent time learning under folks that are your senior, but yet you want to be advanced. God is trying to get our attention today and tell us, learn to endure. Learn to be patient. Patience is what? A fruit of the Spirit. Christians ought to be the most patient people in the world. We ought to be a people that knows how to endure. Though the Bible said, they that wait on the Lord, they shall what? Renew their strength. So when we are enduring, God is working. Hello? When we endure and when we are patient and when we feel like we're left behind, God is in the works. Amen? Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Be joyful in hope, meaning whatever you're believing for, be patient and wait for it. You're believing for a new house? Be patient and wait for it. You're going to school for your degree? Go day by day with joy. Don't get cumbered and say, oh my God, I can't handle this study. It's too much for me. It's going to kill me. Listen to me. Time passes, and with time, the Christian produces. I'll say that again. Time passes, but in the process, the child of God produces. What we have to do is put our confidence in the Lord. Don't put your confidence in your own abilities. The Bible says, put no confidence in flesh. Don't put confidence even in people. Don't put confidence in your pastor, man. Come on, put confidence in God. Be rooted, be grounded, be settled in God. Patient in affliction. The next part says, when you're waiting, be faithful in prayer. Do not throw aside the weapons that God has given to you. Sometimes when situations hit us, when trials come our way, we become so flustered and we forget to pray. We forget to pray. We don't want to pray. That people are telling you, brother, go down on your knees. Sister, go down on your knees. You're like, no, I need a solution and I need it now. But the word of God is saying, be faithful in prayer. When you're enduring, do not endure in your own strength. Endure in prayer. And now when you're enduring, you have to have the right mindset. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. We do not need the carnal mind, because when you operate in your own mindset, you will please the flesh. You will not engage spiritual principles or the word of God. You will engage what you are feeling, what you are thinking. You will be an emotional animal, and you're going to run like a mad bull. Because you've been driven by your feelings. Driven by your feelings. You ever seen a crazy ram? He just goes and breaks up everybody's fence. If you grew up in the country, you know about that. He just feels like he needs to get in the yard, and it doesn't matter what it takes, he's going in that yard. And if it means he has to break your fence to get in, he's going in. Anyone ever seen something like that? Yes. Most of us, we're not born in the Bronx, okay? Yes, I know what it is to be braced on a fence by a cow when you can't move. The cow has his horns like this, and all he knows, he wants to butt me, and I'm just standing there, and I'm looking around looking for help. The trench is there, and the cow is on the other side, and he got his thing ready to stick me. But thank God for deliverance, amen? Thank God he sent help just in time. Yeah, man, we grew up in the country. We know what it's like. But we have to have this mindset that whenever affliction comes our way, or whenever we're being pressed on any side, we rest. When we are being pressed, we rest in God. We be patient. We endure it. We do not throw the towel in. We do not give it. We do not wave the white flag. No, we stand in our confidence. We do not throw away our confidence. Now, I want to give you a few ways to endure. We endure by the power of the blood. You can write if you desire to. We overcome by the blood. We endure by the power of the blood. Same Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God. Now, we do not endure by our own strength, but we endure by the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen? It says, having boldness to enter into the presence of God. So whenever you are faced with affliction, you're faced with trouble, you remember that the blood of Jesus gives you entrance into the presence of God. Then next, what after you understand that you have entrance by the blood, you come what? Into the presence of God boldly. It is not our works that give us access to God. It is the blood of Jesus. So now, when you are in trouble, you remember that you can go into the presence of God. According to Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Then in the scripture says, have boldness? Yes. And you don't come to your father shamefaced. Hello? You do not come to God. God. No. You come into the presence of God boldly. Whenever your children have a need, don't they say, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, I need this, I need that. My kids go like, hey, dad, I need $20 for school. I'm like, what? Why you need money again for school? Oh, I got to go on a trip. They don't come and say, dad, I have $20. No, they come boldly. Why? Because they are confident that I am their Father. When you are in trouble, do not endure alone. Know that you have access. He said, go boldly into the presence of God, that what? You may receive. When we go into the presence of God, we don't go there to get beat up. No, the beat up happened. Jesus took my beating. Jesus took my shame. Jesus took all the reproach. So when I go into Daddy, Daddy sees the blood all over me. I've been washed whiter than snow. Snow got nothing on you, man. So when you go in now, you're not going in with reproach. You're going in with your brooch of righteousness. You're walking in with your brooch. Man, you're looking good. And you're coming, Daddy, I'm in trouble. Daddy, I need some strength. Daddy, I can't take this anymore. And what he gives you grace for every trial. No matter what you are facing, he's got the solution. Jesus said, up until this point, you have not asked anything into my from the Father. But from now on, ask the Father that your joy might be full. The Father is here to fill you with his joy. The Father is here to lift your burden. The Father is here to comfort you. The Father is here to embrace you. Like a father pities his children, God pity those who love him. You got access. When you're going through, don't go through alone. Use the blood. Use the blood. Let the blood sprinkle. The word of God says that we're not like the old ones in the old covenant. They were constantly reminded every year about their sin. But the blood was sprinkled on my conscience. Hey. I said the blood was sprinkled on my conscience. Meaning what I did, I asked forgiveness. He said if we sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And to cleanse, not just forgive, but cleanse. Not just forgive, but cleanse. From all unrighteousness. So if you're cleansed, and you're not cleansed by NYC water among Vernon water, because sometimes where I live, when it rains, the water turns red. If I depend on that water, I'm in trouble. But I am cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah! Mighty God. Tell somebody, endure with the blood. Endure with the blood. The blood, there is victory in the blood. There is victory in the blood. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcome him who? The devil. By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives, what? To death. Because they knew the power of the blood. There is power. Hebrews 10:12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God. Meaning, the blood is so powerful that when Jesus died 2,000 years ago, it was one sacrifice, once and for all. Not only present and future, the blood was retroactive. Because when Jesus died, graves split wide open. And those who were held captive by sin and death, the grave gave them up. Let me tell you, the blood can wash you no matter what you have done. All you got to say, Jesus, help me, God. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. He that come to God, he will not reject him. So come how? Boldly. How are you going to come? Come on, how are you going to come? Boldly. How are you going to come? Boldly. Hallelujah. God knows what he is doing. I want to read this scripture. Isaiah 46:10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, seen. My counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. God knows what he's doing in your life. Whatever God allows to come your way, he's building you, he's molding you, and he's fashioning you. The things that the enemy seeks to come up against you, what you do? You command those things to move. It says, resist the devil and he shall flee. Amen? So when you're going through trials and you're going through tribulation, do not cut and run. Stay and burn. I said, stay and burn. Because what God is burning? Things that are not good for us. God does not burn us. The trials that come from God does not destroy us, but it builds us. That's why he says, be patient in tribulation. Be how? Come on, be how? Next. The next step is be confident in your faith. Be confident in your faith. Same Hebrews 10, 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart. What kind of heart? A true heart. In full assurance of faith. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So how must you draw? You're not drawing, you're not coming up to God shamefaced. No, but you're coming in by faith. You're coming in with authority. You're coming in with confidence, knowing that he is your Father. When Jesus rose from the dead, he said, Mary, don't touch me, woman. I have not yet ascended to my God and to your God. My Father and your Father. It is not only Jesus' Father. He is my Father. So when you're going in, go in with full assurance. How? Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We spoke about that. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold now. How are you going in? You're holding fast. You're remaining secure in your faith. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You see, whenever we are faced with trying situations, sometimes in the process of the trial, we might be tempted to give up. We might be tempted to give up. Could you imagine Job that had all, that was the richest man in the land? Yeah, the man was the richest man in the land. But all of a sudden, he became sick. And then he started to lose everything. He started to lose his children one by one by one by one. They were dying. Don't you think at some point there was some temptation to give up? You know, his friends came and told him all that he did wrong. His wife even said to him, why don't you just curse God and die? But what did Job say? No. No. Tribulation does not, or trials does not dictate the source of your saving grace. Trials does not prove that you're saved or not. You know, people say, how can you be going to church and all these things are happening to you? How come you're serving Jesus and all these things are happening to you? Trials does not dictate your saving grace. For by grace we are saved, not by the trial, not by the outcome of our life, not by the production of our faith. No, all that is great. But it's Jesus that saves. Amen? So hold fast your confidence. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident in this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. So if you're sick in body and you need healing, remain in faith. Stay confident in faith. Because what? Remember the Syrophoenician woman? She came to Jesus and she said, hey, Jesus, can you heal my daughter? What did he say? Oh, no, not you, woman. We can't take what belonged to the children and give it to the dogs. She said, you know what? All you can give me if it's the crumbs. Don't give me the food. You know the little grain of rice that Josh leaves after he eats, or Hannah leaves after she has eaten her lunch? Just scoop it off and give it to me. And when I read that scripture, I said, mighty God, even the scrapes that come from the hand of the king. It's worth than more than all the treasures in the world. What did Jesus say to her? He said, I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel. Because she was willing, whatever she can get from God was good enough. And that's how we got to be, church. Because every good and perfect thing flows from God. Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in who? Us. Tell somebody, there is glory after my endurance. There is glory after your endurance. The sufferings are here now, but they shall not last forever, because the word promised glory. So if the word promises, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to look forward. Remember, Joseph. He had dreams. He had dreams that he was going to be a prince, and that his entire family is bowing down to him, and the sun and the moon, even his mom and dad came and they were bowing down. And what happened after that? Shortly after, he was put in a pit. Pit. Not prince. He was pit boy. Put in a pit, hoping that he would die. Not only put in a pit, then they sold him into slavery. This is the man with the dream. I want to tell you, if you got a dream, hold your dream no matter what comes your way. Your trials and your tribulation does not dictate the end of your life. God says, there will be glory. So what you got to do, anticipate the glory in your trial, in your testing, in your pit. The day of your pit, do not forget the promise. Do not let the pit overtake the promise of God. And we know the end of Joseph, what he did. He stayed consistent. Paul said, we know how to abound and we know how to be abased. Even when you find yourself in a pit, you might lose your job, or all hell might break out in your family, and it looks like the devil is winning. You hold on to the promises of God, that the current suffering will not be able to compare, because you are confident he who began it is faithful. He is what? Faithful. He doesn't take a break. He is consistent. God is consistent. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good. All things, even my suffering, even my trials, even the tribulation, it will work for good. All things work together for good to those who are righteous. No, those who love God. Hello? Those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, Joseph had a bigger purpose than himself. His purpose was to go to Egypt, set up shop in Egypt, that the people of God may be rescued. Because had he not been in Egypt, they could have died of famine. But God had purpose on his life. But when there is purpose on your life, there are going to be some pit moments where you're feeling like you're going down and you're going lower and you're going lower and you're getting now trampled on, where people are taking advantage of you and like you're put to shame. But I want to tell you, just like he did it for Joseph, he's going to come through for you. You're going to meet Potiphar and you're going to find favor with Potiphar. And if Potiphar's wife decided she want to put you in trouble, God's got a greater promotion with your name on it. He's going to take you from the pit. You stopped over at Potiphar's house, but get ready, get ready. You're about to meet Pharaoh and you're about to come into your Goshen. Do not relent. Your God is faithful. Because you're called according to his purpose. You're putting his agenda first. That's why he says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And how many things? How many things? Come on, you know it. How many things? All things will be added unto me. Come on, personalize it. All things will be added unto me. Third point. Endure by the power of the Spirit. Endure by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26-27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Who got some weakness here? Keep your hands down. The Lord helps us in our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit is your personal GPS. Let me put it this way. God's positioning system. GPS is like global positioning system, right? But the Holy Spirit is God's leader on the inside of you. Now, I have GPS in here, right? When I leave my house and I'm going to an address I do not know, I could choose to touch GPS, turn on GPS, enter the address, or I can not do it. If I put the address into the GPS, I will have an ETA. And I know where I'm going. Remember, this is a new address. The reason for the GPS is to get you there in a timely fashion. If you put the address, it's going to guide you to your destination. Now, if I feel like I know it all, I'm going to say, I got this, man. Oh, yeah. 325 Johnson Lane. Yeah. I know where that is. But I don't have a clue. I know it's in the Bronx. So guess what I'm going to do? Start driving. I got this, man. Yeah, man. I'm good. You trying to impress your wife or your girlfriend. I got this. And then 2 hours later, the girl is like, but the Bronx is only 45 minutes away. Why? Because you refuse to use your help. You refuse to use your help. Now, God has put a guide on the inside of every one of us. He did not put an angel. He didn't put Michael. He didn't put Gabriel. Nor the legions of angels that he had. No, he put himself on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He is our help. Look here now. Likewise, let's go back now to the scripture. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Now we try to sidetrack. We don't know the way. We like, Holy Ghost, I got this. I don't need your help. I'm going to figure this out. You know what you do? You quench the Spirit. It's like you throw water on him. You're like, the fire is burning. And he's working in you. And he's leading you. And he's guiding you. Then you go like, I don't need this. You put some confidence in flesh. And you begin moving. And you turn down the working of the Holy Ghost. And you know what you begin doing now? Wandering. You're going around in circles. And you're wondering, why are you going around in circles? It's because you refuse your help. You're wondering why you're not getting over your weakness. This scripture is not an excuse for weaknesses. Because this scripture says he helps us in our weaknesses. Sometimes we use this scripture like, you know, the Holy Ghost helps me my weaknesses. So you're telling me the Holy Ghost is facilitating when we know the Spirit of God is a deliverer. And he pulls us out of our weaknesses. Amen? He says he helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray. You ever get to a point in your troubles and your trials where you don't feel like praying anymore? Where you feel like to just, you know, like you hold your head and you brace against the wall, and then eventually you slide down, 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 and you end up sitting there and you're like. But in those moments, help kicks in. You don't have to endure alone. God has put on the inside of you all the help that you need. He said, when you don't know what to pray and how you ought to pray, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's what the song says. When you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. Just give him room. Say, Holy Spirit, just pray, just work, lead me. That's why we got to desire the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that when you run out of words, you could then switch over and say, Holy Ghost, go on, pray. I am done with this. I've done it my way. Intercept the situation. The Holy Ghost is your interceptor. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Who searches the heart? Who searches the mind of God? The Spirit of God searches the heart of God. Hello? The Spirit of God searches the heart of God. So what is in the heart of God? It is good and not evil. It is blessing and it is not curse. So what does he pull? What is within the heart of God, and he declares it in the natural. When you speak in the Spirit's language, you are speaking mysteries. Hello? I hope I didn't lose you. Come back, come back, come back. When the Holy Spirit begins to pray, he speaks mysteries that cannot be understood with the normal ear, unless someone has an ear to interpret what the Spirit of God is saying. Now, they're so consumed with the mind of Christ that God then gives them the understanding of the Holy Ghost, and they then break it to you. But who cares? If I'm speaking mysteries, the mysteries of God are going to take hold in my life, because he promised me to bless me and to make me a blessing, that I'm the head and I'm not the tail. So when I give the Holy Ghost room to pray and to speak his mysteries, it is not of evil, but it is of good. So don't endure alone. Take help from the Holy Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. When you pray in the Spirit, God's heart comes forth. Hello? When you pray in the Holy Ghost, I wish I could speak in Spanish, brother, and I could tell you this thing. Yeah, but when you pray in the Spirit, the mind, the will of God, then takes hold in your life. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will what? Teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. When you're going through your trials, hang out with the Holy Ghost. It gives opportunity for you to be taught what is on the mind of God. Amen? When you're going through a trial, don't go through it alone. It will be foolish for a child of God to separate himself when he is going through trial and say, Lord, let me figure this one out. When I figure it out, you know, I'll be back. People who do that, they never come back. The last thing, do not endure in isolation. Do not endure in isolation. Back to the text. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another. Consider who? Let us what? Consider who? Let us consider, let me put it this way, each other. What God is saying, consider the brother next to you, consider the sister that is next to you. Do not become isolated when you are in a trial. Because how can you get help If someone is next to you, you can pull help, you can ask for help, because you are concerned about the brother. You are concerned about the sister. Do not go it alone. Go through your trials and your testing with a brother, with a sister. Share what you're going through with someone. Consider one another in order to stir up love. To stir up what? Stir up love and good works. The love of God has been shed abroad in whose heart? My heart, your heart. By who? The same Holy Spirit. So now, when you're going through a trial, the worst thing you can do is to become isolated. How can we prove this? You have a nice fire going, but then you take one wood and you put it off to the side. What happens to the wood? Eventually, the fire goes lower. It doesn't die right away. It goes lower and it goes lower and it goes lower and it goes, and eventually, it is out. Do not become isolated. The enemy seeks to isolate you from the people that supports you. He seeks to draw you out from the family that God has put you in. We see this even in homes. Guess what? Kids, they want to run away from their home. They want to run away from their family. They want to run away. Friends encourage them to step out. Come with us, man. Come hang out with us. Come chill with us. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Remember the prodigal son? What did he do? He left the father's house. What happened? He had fun at first. He had a good time. There was a good thing going. What happened after that? When his money was done, his friends left him. His friends left him. The party, the music stopped. The festivities ended. And he was left how? All alone, hungry, broken, and battered. I want to tell somebody, hey, don't wait till you're eating pig food to run back to what God has purposed for your life. No, stay together. Hang out. Man, iron sharpens iron. Draw from someone. Stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. You know, and what I found amazing that this scripture is written in trial. Written in trial. When he tells them, don't stay away from fellowship. Come to fellowship. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. How? Together. He's not just talking about come to church. What he's saying, when you come to church, there is a result. Somebody can stir you up. Good things can happen for you. You're in the presence of God. You're worshiping. You're not just a number. You are counted in the congregation of the righteous. We need to quit seeing church as just a thing we do and understand. David said, when I went to the house of God, that's when I understood that the wicked is just for a season. The wicked is only for a moment. But what? The righteous has eternal life, eternal grace. So we come together, don't suffer alone. As the manner of some, but what we ought to do? Exhort one another. And so much more, the exhorting must happen as we see the day approaching. What is that day? That is when Jesus will return. The Bible says, no man knows the day. No man knows that hour when the Son of Man shall return. Amen? So do not endure in isolation. Amen? Our endurance is not meaningless. It produces. So write that down. Our endurance is not meaningless. It produces. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be how? Steadfast. Be how? Steadfast. Continue. Do not give up in your trial. Immovable. You are not going to be moved. You're going to stand in God. You're going to remain planted. I think it's Colossians 2:7 says, be rooted, be built up in God. Find your foundation in the kingdom of God. Know who you are and whose you are, and not be tossed around. Always abounding. Always what? abounded in the work. In what? Hello, tell somebody the kingdom of God is work. It's work. Somebody worked and brought you here. And you like it. You love Jesus. You love God. You love the things of God. You love the presence of God. But it's work. It is what? It is work. It is work. The kingdom of God. God is looking for what? Workers. What are we? Ephesians chapter 2 says, we are his workmanship. Get involved in the work of the Lord. Can I tell you, it is the most rewarding work, because the Bible says, do not lay up treasures on the earth, but lay up treasures where? In heaven. Yesterday, we were out on the street doing evangelism. Guess what they were doing? Working in the kingdom of God, telling somebody that Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus paid the price for your sin. Get involved in the work. And the work has lots of aspects. Somebody's got to preach, somebody's got to sing, somebody's got to play music, somebody got to do social media, somebody got to do the camera, somebody got to turn on the lights, somebody got to come and fix it up. There was lots of work to do in the kingdom of God. Can I tell you, every person has a place in the kingdom? Because we are a body. Hands, head, neck, back, legs. Amen? So we can't despise, the hand can't look at the foot and say, who are you? Amen? We cannot despise, but we have to what? Embrace. Somebody say embrace. We are to embrace the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. It is not in vain. Endurance next produces promotion. 1 Peter 5 to 6 says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you when? Due time. Due time. So, in the process of your due time, you are enduring until your promotion comes. Then the word says, be steadfast, unmovable. So, even if it's tarries or it takes a while for your promotion to come, what you must do is to remain humble under God and what God has set up. And what? Promotion doesn't come from the east nor from the west. It comes from who? If God be for us, who can be a? What is impossible for man is possible with? So will you endure? I said, will you endure? Yes, promotion is coming. If what's his name? Joseph said, that's it. I'm in the pit and I'm going to backslide right here. You know what would have happened? His entire bloodline would have suffered. I wonder who it is that depends on you enduring today. Maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your children. And can I tell you? This thing is for those who are afar off, those who are generations unknown. We are putting seed in the ground that will flourish even when we are gone. It's generational. Touch your neighbor and say, it is generational. How can we prove that? He's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac. He's the God of Jacob. And after Jacob, we got Joseph, and we got Ephraim, and we got Manasseh. He's the God of generations. Endurance brings promotion, man. There is favor when we endure. We all want favor. You know, some folks ask them, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. And that's a great reality that they have discovered. It is a reality. It is not a hope. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Amen? James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Steadfast under what? Under what? Under trial. For when he has stood the test, what he has? Don't give up in your testing period. Hello? do not give up in your testing. Can I tell you who gave up when they were being tested? Remember when Jesus gave the talents? The man that had won. He had the least. He looked at Mr. Five and he looked at Mr. Three. And he's like, oh, my master is a terrible man. He took the one and he put it in the ground. Why the ground? He despised what was given to him. He despised because he was given little. But what did the Lord say? When the master returned, the one that had five, he got what? Five more. The one that got three, what he got? Three more. The one that had one, he lost it. Because if we're not faithful in little, we will not know how to be faithful in much. Do not despise your trial. Do not despise your testing. Whatever you have, you may have a little bit of money now. Don't wait until you get a lot to give to God. Don't wait to say, oh, when I get that big job, I'm going to start tithing because then I will have a lot of money. Right now, you're a small thief. You'll become a big one then. I didn't say it. Malachi 3 says, will a man rob God? You ask, how have you robbed me? In your tithes and offering? So if you're sitting in church and you're a thief, please repent and get it right. Because when, if you're not faithful in little, it is not God's business to give you much. Work, sweat, break your back and make the money, but you will never have pressed down, shaken together and running over. Will men give into your bosom unless you obey the word of God? That's right. Has stood the test, you'll receive what? The crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. I want to encourage you, church, this morning, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So what? Conclusion is, your endurance is not meaningless. It produces, what else? It brings promotion. And there is favor when we